Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And I want to have a heart-to-heart with you. It's not going to be a tough, in-your-face kind of sermon, but I want to explain many things about the Christian life and living a separated Christian life to you, maybe in a way that will make sense and you'll understand things. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 22 through 30. Let's read responsively. Chapter 20, verses 22 through 30. Proverbs 20, 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head, or hair on the head at all. Verse number 30, let's also read together. Ready? The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do the stripes the inward parts of the belly. And I want to read one other verse to you in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Let's pray. Father, I sure do need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, help me. Help me to say things rightly tonight. Help me to do things and explain in such a way to where each and every individual will understand tonight. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You can look this way. My son has picked up woodworking as a hobby. And he made this for me for Christmas on a lathe. And yeah, it's beautiful. And he knows I this is the symbol of justice. Justice is the balancing of an equation. That means for every wrong that's done, the punishment has to mete it out equally. And the Bible says that a just balance here in Proverbs chapter 22. It talks about a false balance is not good. Proverbs chapter 11, a just balance is God's delight. God does not delight in something that is not just. Now, this is what you have to understand about a balance. If you went to a meat store or if you went to a pharmacy or something in olden days, they would have a scale. And let's say it was weighed out in ounces and you needed 6 ounces. They would grab their 6 ounce weight and put on this side, and whatever you were getting, they would put in this side until the scale balanced out. A false balance means this. They would have weights, if it was supposed to be 6 ounces, it may only be 5 ounces. And they would put that in there, you thinking you're getting 6 ounces, but you were only getting 5 ounces. That is a false balance. So they would have people come in and inspect the weights. And sometimes they would find that merchants would have 2 sets of weights. And one that they would use if they had to because they were being inspected, but they would look for those false weights. Does that make sense to everybody? Because if you cheated everybody an ounce, after 6 times, you picked up a whole thing for free as a merchant to sell again. And evil people will do that. They will have an unjust balance. So it is the standard weight that you would use that was the issue. The balance would be right no matter what. But the standard were the weights that were used to measure things out. Everybody understand that? So it wasn't just the scale. The standard would be whatever weight that you wanted in there. Make sense? All right, now, let me help you with something. An unjust or a dishonest scale or standard will show eventually. Now, the standard for the balance is the weight. For instance, a tape measure. A tape measure is a standard. Many are done in eighth or quarter inches, but they're always done in inches, unless you have metric stuff, and we won't get into that. All right? And there are some need for those things. But a tape measure is a standard. You know, if you're going to go to the lumber yard, you're going to go to Home Depot or Lowe's, you're going to get an 8-foot board. You know that it's going to be 96 inches long. There is a standard that it's a certain amount of inches per foot. How many inches are in a foot? Everybody help me? 12. Wow, very good. All right. And so there is a standard for that. How many of you have ever heard of a baker's dozen? You all know what that is? That means there's 13 of something. Do you know why there was a baker's dozen? Baker's dozen, no, the baker's dozen meant this. He wanted to make sure that you weren't cheated in weight or for whatever you wanted, so he would put an extra one in there just in case something wasn't exactly right. When you got the baker's dozen, you got somebody that was an honest businessman. They weren't trying to cheat you. They wanted to make sure you got all of what you had paid for. And that's what a baker's dozen is for. Now, tonight, I want to elevate and I want to clarify the Christian life. I want to, and pardon me for saying this, I want to take you to big league Christianity. And you have to understand something. We're getting new people, new Christians, new converts all the time. So I will review these things from time to time because we're getting new people in. And by the way, that's the sign of a healthy, growing church. But I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to show you what God says. There's too much opinion. There's too much of people's intelligence used instead of God's words. We get these cute ideas thinking, this sounds so much better. This is the 21st century. Yeah, and I've watched the way of the 21st century churches and don't like where they're going. They quit soul winning. They quit their bus routes. They quit preaching standards and convictions. And they start having college classrooms instead of churches, old-fashioned churches, reaching people, going out and knocking on doors, keeping people out of hell. I watch it. You can have all the computers and bouncy ball screens and all your big screen TVs and all your fancy stuff that you want, but if people are dying and going to hell while you're enjoying all of your high-tech stuff, what good was it? Amen. I just believe in doing it God's way. Now, here we go. There are three words used in fundamentalism in reference to separation. I'm going to give you those three words. I'll define them, and then I'm going to illustrate them. First, you have something called standards. How many of you have heard that word before, all right? Standards. Standards would be that weight that you would use on this side of the scale, and then you would put into it the equal amount of product that you were getting to make sure that it was equal. So standards, by the way, the standard was not determined by the buyer. The standard, when you go buy a tape measure, you don't decide what the standard is. Now, you might decide how it's broken up, whether it's into 16ths or 8ths or quarters or whatever you're going to get, but it's all going to be in inches. There is a standard that goes with that. Does everybody understand that? That standard doesn't change. I don't care if you like how big an inch is or not. It hasn't changed and it's not going to change. That's right. I don't care if you don't like how big 12 inches is in a foot. It's not going to change. That's right. You don't decide the standard. It's decided by someone of a higher power and it does not change. Can I tell you something? Standards don't change. Right. All right. Then you have the word preference. That is what you prefer. Let me define this a little extensive here. A preference cannot be less than a standard. A preference has to exceed the standard. Well, I don't like inches. I think we ought to call a half an inch an inch, and I'll just decide if I'm going to sell a board that a half inch is going to be the standard instead of an inch, but I'll sell it as inches. Uh-uh. But if you're going to sell an 8-foot board, you might give them 8 foot and an inch or two just to make sure they got enough. That's your preference. You get, it's that baker's dozen. That's a preference. They didn't have to, but they did it in order to be extra honest. Does that make sense there? So a preference cannot be less than the standard. It has to exceed the standard. Then you have the word conviction. Now, this is prevalent a lot in the South, but it's become prevalent a lot in the last 30 years of fundamentalism. You hear the term standards and convictions. I'm going to say something here. Most people don't understand what a conviction is. I've heard preachers get up and preach whole sermons on convictions. Conviction is something you would die for. That's not in the Word of God anywhere. A conviction is this. A conviction is the Holy Spirit showing you or telling you you did something wrong. You're convicted by it. But may I say this, you don't have to be convicted about it for it to be true.
Right.
How many people have you met in jail that said, I didn't do it, but they're convicted of it? Just because you don't feel bad about it doesn't mean it's not true. Everybody doing okay? So a conviction is not, has nothing to do with standards or preferences. It has to do with whether you're listening to the Holy Spirit or not. But even if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, the standard did not change. It's still there. And the Holy Spirit won't convict you of something outside of the standard. Now, listen to me very closely. I am not asking you to follow me because I say something. I want you to investigate God's Word.
Amen.
I want to show you everything I can in light of God's Word. I'll show you what the standards are. I'm going to make a statement here. I'm not sure I've ever made this statement, but I don't think God has preferences. They're not mentioned in the Bible. He requires everybody to live by a standard. Say, well, I think that we ought to live by the preferences of God. Show me one in the Bible. I don't ask anybody to live by my preferences. Okay? Brother Scott and I were talking about this yesterday. I prefer my steaks rare. Amen, Miss Wally? They could be just at body temperature, a little lower on the inside. Okay? Knock the horns off, burn the hair off, put a little color on the outside, and let the inside just be cold and red. It's fine. Cold and dead. Long as it quit mooing and quit quivering on the plate, it's good enough. Okay? Now, that's my preference. My wife likes them medium well to well. Okay? To me, what's the use in eating it if you got to wear it on your foot? I mean, that's like you cooked all the flavor right out of it. It's like eating a piece of jerky or something. Now, that's her preference. I don't criticize her for it. We're still going to eat steak. Usually it's venison because I kill it and we butcher it. Amen? But I'd rather have my preference is rare. Her preference is medium well. Did you know it's not either one or not sinful? So there's a preference there. You have foods that you prefer. You have foods that you don't prefer. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just a preference. You know, God doesn't have those in the Bible.
That's right.
He has standards. Now, listen to me very carefully here. In other words, I'm not going to enforce my preferences on anybody. But I'll show you what God's standards are. Our church is constantly reaching new people. I read a quote this week. I loved it. By the way,
Baptist preachers are afraid anymore. Most Baptist preachers have lace on their underwear.
They're afraid to tell people what's right and wrong.
Brother Roloff used to say it this way, they got spaghetti spines and jello sermons.
I love that statement. I love it. I love it. I love it. And they go to wet noodle seminaries. Okay. Good night. The average preacher in America today, I'm going to get hard on you. And they get done with a sermon. I'm thinking, when were they going to get hard? Good night. My introductions are worse than their whole sermon. Now, I say that to say this. Much of what I'll preach tonight isn't preached anymore. It's not taught anymore. Too many people don't want to rock the boat. Well, folks, some preachers need to sink the boat, not rock it. Let's drill some holes in it and drop it in the bottom of the lake and let's start swimming, amen? Too many pastors are led by the sheep instead of leading the sheep. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to lose anybody. Well, I don't want to lose anybody either, but you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit. They might get mad, but at least you know they're listening. I'm not going to change God's word.
I can say this because I've said it all along. I didn't change my preaching because my children became teenagers. I still live by the same standards and still preach the same things that I did when my kids were that size and when they're that size and older. I didn't change it. Standards don't change because of the age of your children. I've watched many a preacher change when their kids became teenagers.
I could take you to half a dozen pastors of yesteryear in the last 25, 30 years. Brother Fisher worked for a man who had preached the same way I preach right now. When his daughters became teenagers, he got up and said, no, we're no longer going to preach standards and conviction. Can I tell you why? Because his teenage daughters wanted to wear breeches. And his wife did, so he changed the whole church. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
That old dog ain't going to hunt with me. My daughter has never had a pair of breeches on in her life. Now, if she chooses to and she leaves her
the influence of mom and dad, that's between her and her God and her husband. I don't think she's going to change, just so you know. But if she does, it's not my fault.
Right.
Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Even if she does marry the toe-headed idiot.
All right. Now, direction is everything. Let me show you something. If you've never been taught this and you're coming towards the truth, wonderful. If you've been brought up in it and you're going away from the truth, you have problems.
We're going to have people come into our church that aren't dressed right, but they don't know any different. But as they start growing and they start coming to the truth, they start warming up to it and they start saying, man, I understand this a little better. And they start changing things. Great. But those of us that have heard it preached our whole life, and we go, you say, well, so-and-so, yeah, they just got saved in the last year or so. Now, wait a minute. Direction is everything. If you're running toward, it's okay, Brother Joe. If you're running towards the world instead of running away from the world, you're going the wrong direction.
That's right.
I know Christian young people that live worse than some of the world does. Because they're running to the world, and the public young people are running towards God.
It's all a matter of direction. Now, let me just jump into this. Tonight, I want us to discuss the topic of standards, preferences, and conviction. Now, number one, what are standards? Standards is the word law, rule, or command. Law, rule, or command. Did you know God's laws don't change?
Yes, sir.
Did you know that the sun's going to come up tomorrow in the east and set in the west, and that's not going to change?
Yes, sir.
That is a law of God. Did you know gravity is a law of God?
Amen.
And you better thank God for it.
Amen.
the older I get, the less I like it because everything's sagging in the middle. I'm kind of like Brother Hiles. I need to drop 10 pounds. It's gone from my shoulders to my belly. I'm hoping I live long enough it comes out my feet. But it's just not, you know, it is what it is. Standards are a minimum that does not change. When I do a wedding, I married Evan and Christine about, is it 10 years now already? Almost 10 years. Lord have mercy, I can't believe she put up with you that long, Brother Evan. But there's a minimum there. I did an all right job, yeah. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, keep thee only unto them so long as you both shall live. Now, wait a minute, that's the minimum. Do you know that your wedding vows ought to be the minimum, not the maximum? I say this, I live well beyond my wedding vow. That's just the minimum. That's not the maximum. That's just the standard. Did you know lost people take the same vow? Now, standards are requirements. They're laws. They're commands. They're minimums that do not change. God has some standards by which we Christians are to live. Now, I'm going to use separation in several different areas. Don't get mad at me. And by the way, everybody's welcome in this church. But I'm not going to be a community church. Everybody come as y'all. Let's have a rock concert and let's have an open bar and let's everybody come in our PJs and sing Kumbaya and let the kids play on the jungle gym and say we had church. Dress standards. Deuteronomy 22, verse number 5 says that a man is not to wear that which pertaineth to a woman, and a woman is not to wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Yes, sir. Now, I know we live in a strange society that some people don't know if they're a man or a woman. Come to my office, give me about 10 seconds, and I can tell you. Okay? Won't take long at all, I promise you. As I said this morning, plumbing is the issue. If you have a question, go ask your mama. She's the one that hatched you, she can tell you. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? Men and women are to be different in how we dress. That is a standard of God. You know, I have no desire to dress like a woman. Okay, I know I probably shouldn't say this, but I have no desire to wear a pair of pantyhose. Glory to God. My name is not Joe Namath. Amen. Some of you old timers know what I'm talking about. I have no desire to wear high heel shoes. And I really have no desire to put a skirt on and show my hairy legs. I have no desire to wiggle when I walk.
Amen.
And I really have no desire to birth a kid.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. I am a man from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. My feet stink, my nose runs, and I'm losing my hair. Amen.
Amen.
I am a man through and through. I thank God for that. I have no desire to dress like a woman. One of the freaks of sports, Dennis Rodman. Yeah, what a weirdo. Can I tell you something? I have no desire to do, you know, I've never had a desire to go to my wife's part of the closet and put on her clothes.
That's right.
Hang on there. Did you know that a, okay, but hang on for a second. Did you know a woman shouldn't have a desire to put a man's clothes on either? Now, wait a minute. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Ladies did not wear breeches until the 1940s and World War II much. And when the men went off to war and they hired the women to work in the factories, they put the men's breeches on, and when the men came back, they left the breeches on. And we want to know what the breakdown of the home is? That's why men and women don't understand the difference between men and women today. Because we're all wearing the same clothes. You know you can still go to a lady's bathroom and see on the sign, and it's got a little triangle skirt on a stick figure. Even the world knows. But now they've got them that are LGBTQ and rainbow colored and everything else.
Because we live in such a sick world. According to Isaiah
47, verses 1 through 3, we won't take time to turn there. The Bible says that we're not supposed to be found naked. Okay? By the way, God defines nakedness different than we do. When Peter and James and John were fishing on the boat out on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus called for them, and Peter says, "Oh, fellas, it's the Lord." And he said he was naked, and he put his fisher's coat around him. He wasn't out on the water buck naked. That is not the place to be dressed like that. Y'all know where I'm headed with that, all right? If you're not mature enough to understand that, someday you will be, all right? But may I say this, what was wrong was his thighs and his shoulders were uncovered. Isaiah 47, I'm gonna read this to you. "Come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind the meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not meet thee as a man." That word leg is a very interesting word. In the Hebrew, it literally means from the hip to the knee. It also means the shoulder, because it is in reference to an animal. Your shoulder joint is the same as your knee joint in God's mind. And he said you shouldn't have your hip uncovered. Shouldn't have your leg uncovered. Your leg actually in your arm would be down to virtually the elbow. Okay? Now listen to me very carefully here. That means this: knees, hips, and shoulders ought to be covered, or God says it's nakedness. I didn't say it, God did. By the way, I can go into very much depth of this. The knee actually is in the crease of your leg in the back. But when you're seated, the crease of your leg goes below your knee. I don't think it's wise for a Christian lady to wear her skirts just at the top of the knee, or a man for his shorts. Your knees have to be covered when you sit, or biblically, you're naked. Everybody doing okay? He didn't say it's just for women, it's for everybody. The standard doesn't change. Everybody doing all right? We're not to draw attention to our body parts. We're not to dress in such a way that we draw attention to our body parts. And most of us don't have anything to draw attention to, so don't worry about it. But we're still not supposed to draw attention to it. I believe... Good night. You can go to the stores and buy things that it's just unbelievable. They sell skirts for ladies, denim skirts. But they got the thighs and the rear end and other places faded out to accentuate those parts of your body. I think it's unwise. Everybody doing okay? Now, can I say it's sinful? No, that would be my preference. But I think good standard is, why draw attention to it?
If being naked is wrong... I've said this in public settings. You wouldn't walk down the street in your underwear. But yet you can go to the beach and find people wearing less than their underwear because it's colored a different color and there's sand and water and they think it's okay. I don't get it. Everybody doing okay? Music standards. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody to your heart as to the Lord. That's God's standards for music. Okay? Did you know God's standard for music is it ought to be doctrinally pure?
I'm going through the songs that we sing. I make sure the doctrines are right. I make sure the doctrines of the songs we sing are right. There are some songs in there the doctrines aren't right. There are some verses of some songs that I won't sing because there's verses of a song that aren't doctrinally pure. We wouldn't read another version of the Bible. Why would we sing wrong doctrine?
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe we ought to have worldly styled music.
Amen.
I get so sick and tired of this breathy, honky-tonk, slidey kind of junk that we got going on. And the new thing in Baptist churches and fundamentalism, they're taking hymns and they're changing the beat to it, changing the tempo of it, and you can't even recognize it as a hymn anymore. And then they got sliding everywhere. Sounded like Brother Barnes and I carrying down a couch yesterday and got stuck between steps. Now, hold on, Brother Barnes. If you can't hit the note the first time, go practice some more. The sliding, and by the way, very contemporary. It all came about because back in the 70s and late 70s, early 80s, you had people like Amy Grant, Sandy Patty, and others that brought it on with the Bill Gaither scene. You're talking to somebody that understands music. I can't sing real well, but I know music. I've been around gospel music my whole life. We won't sing a song in our church that is less than 25 years old and proven, unless I personally know the author of the song. Somebody like Kathy Coral, or someone that I know who is fundamentally sound. Everybody understand that? We're not getting into this contemporary Christian music junk around here. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives, and they'll sell popsicles in Hades before we do that. I am not bringing worldly style music to our church.
Amen.
Well, you could attract such a... We had a fella.
Mrs. Barnes was there. Guy came to our church. He said, "Boy, you get yourself a drum set in here, and you could play some music. You could attract a lot of young people into this church." I said, "Yeah, and I could chase God out."
Amen.
Said, "I'm not chasing God out to play music to attract people in."
Everybody doing okay? You come here next, or on July 18th, and hear the college tour group come through, and I'll show you what pure music is. Good music. Godly young people that go soul winning.
That's good.
And by the way, just because it's an old song arranged new doesn't mean it's right. The syncopated beats, the slidiness, the breathiness, the performing kind. You know, as they
sing.
Makes me want to throw up. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You can get mad at me, but we're not having a symphony in our church. I've watched the churches that bring symphonies into their church music, and I've watched them change their Bible standards. I watched them change their music standards. I watched them change their dress standards, and I watched them change soul winning. Every one of them. We're not going to have worship services. Did you know there's no such thing as a public worship service anywhere in the Bible? We have church, we don't have public worship. Worship is you taking time to talk to God and tell him how good he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is, his omniscience, his eternality, his omnipotence, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his grace. That's called worship. Worship isn't getting together and singing songs and praising God. Praise is different than worship. And we're not going to have praise and worship services.
That's good.
Sorry.
I'd have to get Brother Barnes up here to do his chicken dance or something. He's back there flapping his wings. Looked more like a turkey dance, but anyway,
strutting around. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's a standard about hair.
Yep.
You know, according to the Bible, men are supposed to have their head uncovered. It's not talking about hats. It's talking about hair. God said, "Doth not nature itself teach you it's a shame for a man to have long hair?"
That's right.
Jesus did not have long hair.
Preach it. Amen. You're right.
Long hair on men has never been culturally accepted anywhere in Christianity. Ever. Everybody doing okay? Now, what's on a head that could be covered? Well, you have eyes. You have ears. You have a nose. And you have a mouth. And you have a neck. Guess what? If your head's to be uncovered, your eyes need to be uncovered, your ears need to be uncovered, Your nose, your mouth, and your neck need to be uncovered. That means a man's hair ought to not cover his eyes, his nose, his mouth, his ears, or his neck. Everybody got that? Does that sound acceptable? Does it sound logical to you? If a woman's hair is her covering, what should a woman's hair cover? It should cover her ears. No, not her eyes. That's dangerous. And her nose and her mouth. It's not wise. But the rest of the head, that means her ears and her neck should be covered. I believe a woman's hair ought, and by the way, it ought to be long enough to where it should be able to cover. You know, some of y'all pull it back, and I get it, all right? Yeah, it's hot in here. But it's very obvious it's long enough to cover your ears because it's all done up on top of your head there. All right? What's that?
It's covering mine.
You can't grow it on your own. You can borrow hers, right? Now, wait a minute. The Bible talks, and it's not supposed to be carved like a pumpkin either. Now, God doesn't say the word pumpkin, but it does say carved or razored. You're not to have carvings in your head. You're not supposed to have WV in the back of your head. You're not supposed to have it. And you got these other people, they don't know what they are, so it's shaved on one side and long on the other. They're half man, half woman. I don't believe it ought to be an unnatural color.
Amen.
Rainbow colors shouldn't be in your hair. You're not supposed to be drawing attention to your hair. It's there to cover your head. And you better hope I don't lose the rest of what I have, because if I do, my head looks like Frankenstein. It's got so many scars in it. I was one of those kids that had many accidents with my head. I went headfirst into everything. So one of the standards is a man's hair should be different than a woman's hair.
That's good. Absolutely.
That is a standard. There are music standards. Now, I have preferences. I have preferences about hair. I have preferences about music. I won't push my preferences on you, but I'll hold to a standard. Everybody understand that? There are dress standards. I mentioned one of them. Next. Movies and video games. We know that witchcraft is wrong. That means the movies you watch and the video games you play should not have witchcraft in them. That's a standard. There shouldn't be evil powers contrary to the power of God. I have no idea. I know what's big because I read up on it a little bit. Marvel comic characters have evil powers. They're not spiritual powers. See, well, it's just entertainment. I didn't make the standard. God did. Some of you would get mad if your daughters dressed like some of the video game characters on your video games. Immodest dress. They ought not be naked. They ought not be tight, form-fitted. I don't care if it's a cartoon character or not. Be consistent. I have no idea if anybody in this room is this way, but I know people from other churches in other states. I know a family. They won't watch Gunsmoke because of Miss Kitty in the saloon. But if you saw the games that they play on their video machines, it makes Gunsmoke look like a revival service. There's no consistency because there's no standard. It's whatever they want. Then, what are preferences? I gotta hurry. Preferences are a little more than the standard, but never less. Preferences would be an opinion. What you prefer. It cannot change the standard. It can maximize the standard. For instance, my wife, she chooses to wear her skirts longer than what God requires, but never shorter. My wife and daughter don't wear slits that would expose the thigh. By the way, standing or seated. I didn't say a slit in a skirt is bad. It is bad if it comes clear up to your hip.
If it uncovers the thigh at all, which is the knee, by the way, if you do some research on that, when you sit down, your knee, bottom of your knee is right there. It's a couple inches below the kneecap. My wife and daughter have had a preference for years. They wear skirts and dresses usually 3 to 4 inches below their knee just to make sure they're covered. Everybody doing okay? I'm not mad. But I do know God says that the bottom of the knee, or the knee above, is nakedness. So let's work hard at keeping it that way. Preferences keep you from getting too close to wrong. If you're worried about getting too close to wrong, prefer to be a little farther apart. That's all that it is. Preferences are not the standard, but as long as the standard is kept, you'll be okay. I know people that have a music standard. They won't listen to, nor play, nor perform any music that wasn't written by an independent, fundamental, King James only kind of person. I'm not against that. But I've heard them sing songs and play songs written by people that weren't Baptists, did not believe in the King James Bible. And they didn't know it. They weren't consistent in it. Everybody doing okay? Okay. By the way, I wouldn't criticize them. But I know what the standard is. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And as long as it's doctrinally pure, musically clean, and it's not... there's more to it than that, but let me leave it at that. I'm not going to fight somebody over it, but it's not Christian contemporary either. And in our church, I make sure it's 25 years old or older to make sure that it's been proven. I know people that, well, we're not going to sing that song because this certain contemporary group sang it. That means you shouldn't sing Amazing Grace because Elvis sang it. How many country western songs stars don't sing gospel hymns? Most of them got their singing started in church. Elvis Presley started singing when he was a boy in church. Elvis Presley was a Christian. Jack Hiles witnessed to him on an elevator in a hotel room and said, "Elvis, what's the matter with you if you got saved?" He said, "I got saved as a boy." He said, "I just didn't want to go after that. There was more money to be made elsewhere." Anyway. Preferences don't change the minimum. They exceed it. For instance, my preference when my boys were at home, my kids were at home. Brother Mike, I didn't let my boys come to the supper table in just an undershirt.
Right.
An undershirt. I felt like it was inappropriate. That's underwear. That's why it's called an undershirt. Sure. Now, that was my preference. If you choose to do so, that's fine. But at my house with my kids... it was my preference. We live by it. Everybody doing okay? Now, I don't go to a bar, and I don't sit at the bar at the restaurant. Now, I know people that won't go to a restaurant that serves alcohol because they have had troubles with alcohol. I won't criticize you for it, but where do you buy your gas? Where do you get your groceries? Because virtually every place sells alcohol. Now, let me say something here. I'm not upset, but don't criticize somebody because they don't hold to your preference. Don't make your preference the standard. The standard is the standard. Everybody doing okay? By the way, I think you're just as wrong for making people or trying to force people to live by your preference as those that won't live by the standard. Somebody is not as separated as you are in a certain area. Don't criticize them because you're as guilty as they are from not living by the standard.
Sure.
Your preference doesn't make it the standard. God said, here's the standard. You know, I don't ask my children to live by my preferences. Never have.
But I've always told them, this is right and wrong. I'll allow this. This is what I want. Say why? I don't think anybody should be forced into a preference. I didn't make my children eat rare beef or rare venison. If they wanted it cooked like mom, have at it. Chew on that thing all day long. I don't care. I want a little blood in that thing. I want a little quiver with the liver, amen? Let that thing go. Then you have conviction. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 8. Boy, I have so much scripture here that I just have bypassed, but I've really tried to concise this into one thing here. John chapter 8, verse number 9. And I'm going to hurry very quickly here because I've already taken too much time. John 8, verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, I want you to notice the word convicted. Conviction. That means they were found guilty of being wrong. These are the accusers of the woman. They said, we have found this woman in the very act of adultery. Everybody look at me. Go back and read John chapter 8 later. You'll never one time find where Jesus said she was guilty. Matter of fact, he said, who are these thine accusers? It was an accusation. If she was found guilty of adultery, where was the man? Because by Hebrew law, he was supposed to be brought to, and they were both supposed to be stoned. We don't know that she was guilty. But we do know this. She had been married more than once. And Jesus said they were convicted and they left from stoning her one by one. They were found guilty, felt bad about it, and weren't going to do anything about it, so they left. Conviction is being found guilty. It did not change the standard. Everybody understand that? Well, when it comes to dress, preacher, I just haven't been convicted about that yet. That doesn't change right and wrong. King James Bible hadn't changed whether you feel good or feel bad about it. Right. I don't care how you feel about it. The Bible is the Word of God, period, end of discussion. If you've been reading the wrong one and don't feel bad about it, that's between you and God. If you're reading the wrong one and feel bad about it, great, you're convicted, change. Yes, sir. That simple. But you don't have to feel bad about it to change. You can change without feeling bad about it. Shazam, I didn't know that. Here we go. So conviction is where the Holy Spirit or the Bible shows you guilt in an area of right where you're doing wrong. But the standard did not change whether you felt bad or not. God's word is not based on how you see it or how you feel about it. Now, let me say this and I'll quit. Our standards of separation are there to get us closer to God. If you'll listen to this very carefully, if that wall down there is where God is, separation is me getting rid of things in my life that keep me from getting closer to God. Do you know, if you dress like the world, you're less likely to be close to God? If you drink like the world, you're less likely to be close to God. If you listen to the world's music, you're less likely to be close to God. The purpose of separation is to separate from the world, take those things off that keep you from getting close to God, and get close to God. Did you know the closer to God you get, the more you see yourself as you really are and you think you're worse? Anytime anybody in the Bible ever saw God, they always said, woe is me. I'm unclean and I'm undone. They didn't say, look at me. Uh-uh. That's pride. That needs to come off. So the purpose of separation is to separate from so you can separate to. It is to take something off that holds you back from getting closer to God. I'll promise you this. You start living by Bible standards and watch how close to God you get.
Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Growth adds standards and preferences because you're getting closer to God. Stagnant standards means stagnant growth. Do you know,
the more I live for God, the tighter things get for me? Because I'm growing. And as I grow closer to the Lord, now, Brother Mike, the standards didn't change. But how I live them and how much I live them and my preferences get a little more because I see how it affects people. What you do once, your children will do as a standard.
What you allow in occasion will become the standard of the next generation. People who live by standards get closer to God because they have put away from them those things which keep them from getting closer to God. You don't have to agree with me, but why don't you try it and see how close to God you get? People in churches that drop or loosen their standards are going the wrong direction.
Watch a church. They quit their soul winning. They call it something creative. Our visitation ministry. Then they start knocking off bus routes. Then the standards start loosening. The girls' skirts get shorter. Girls' tops get lower and tighter. The preaching starts getting softer and softer. We start appealing to the intelligence of people. Let's teach the Word of God.
If you got to make the word God into three syllables, something's wrong. Then you watch the music change. And then look what you have the next generation. Sincere people going the right direction will keep adding standards, keep adding preferences as they grow. If you're a growing Christian, you're going to constantly be adding something to your life. You're not changing the standard, but you're adding preferences so that you never cross that standard. That's getting closer to God. But may I say this, the closer to God you get, the farther away from Him you may feel. Because when you get in the presence of a holy God, you see your sin as it really is. So, let's don't loosen the standards. Let's live by the standards. Let's tighten preferences as we go along. Let's not judge each other by our preferences. If you wear your undershirt to the table, you're not a dirty, filthy, wicked, vile sinner because you did it. That's my preference. Okay? But if you're sitting there half naked, according to God, you're wrong. Everybody got that? That's a standard. The preference, that's mine. Some of you are saying, boy, I'm glad I didn't grow up in your house. Yeah, you probably are. But we had a lot of fun, still do. It's okay, you only got a year left anyway. Now, wait a minute. Standards, convictions, and preferences. God said a just weight is His delight. He wants the standard to match. He wants your life to match what His standard is. Don't put a false weight in there and say, okay, God, I did 5 out of the 6 things. That'll qualify. I'll put myself in. Wrong answer. God said, that's a false balance. And it's not right. God doesn't want a false balance. He wants a just balance. That's what He wants with your life in every area. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Again, every human being in the world is welcome in this church to come. There's not a dress requirement, a separation requirement in our church. Now, if you're going to serve in our church, you're going to sing in the choir, work in the Sunday school, work in the nursery, I'm going to ask you to live by certain standards. I think that's right to do God's work. I believe it's the right thing. United Airlines, Delta Airlines, Southwest Airlines has a dress standard for their employees. The company you work for has a dress standard. Everybody has a standard. But let's live by God's standards